much. The King James Version says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did, and he said unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And here it is. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And when he had considered the thing, somebody say the thing. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. I want to talk this Sunday morning about the prayer meeting at Sister Mary's house. The prayer meeting at Sister Mary's house. We solicit your prayers. If you're not too stingy and too antisocial, a little amen every now and then. The prayer meeting at Sister Mary's house. The disciples, and therefore the apostles of Jesus Christ, had the arduous task of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and keeping the name of Jesus alive under the cloud of persecution. You know the story of how he ascended on Sunday morning and how there was controversy of whether the disciples had stolen him or whether someone had taken the body. Or was it true that there was a conversation in the cemetery between him and Mary where the master reached out and said, Mary, and Mary reached back and said, Rabbi. And she goes and gets Peter and John and they run to the temple and they see that it is true. And that the stone had been rolled away. And the only thing left was a linen napkin that had been placed over top of his face. They go and tell the boys, and they too have a meeting with the master. And he tells them to wait for him in Galilee. One of them was missing at that very first meeting, a man by the name of Thomas, but he reascends on that day and reconnects on another day, that next week, where Jesus meets them again in that same place where they had the Last Supper, that upper room that once was a dead-end street but became a birthday party for the master. Somebody. And after that, he tells them again to go preach my gospel. Take this gospel. Take the fact that I am alive to the four corners of the world. And so they kept the name of Jesus alive. And that is why we have the book of Acts. The book of Acts according to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the Acts of the Apostles according to the Holy Ghost or by the Holy Ghost. Because the book of Acts then teaches us what the apostles then did with the name of Jesus. In Acts, it is all about keeping the name of Jesus alive. Because if somebody besides me knows there's power. I said there's power. In the name of Jesus. Power used to be in Rome. Power used to reside with Herod. And because he was a threat to their power, the number one thing they wanted to do was to keep the name Jesus dead like they thought they had done Friday afternoon. And so every time somebody lifted up the name Jesus, they were being threat of being arrested for treason and sedition. Because Jesus was the king of all of us, perpetrated to be just the king of the Jews, and he was arrested for being a so-called king when there was only one king by the name of Herod. But the problem was after the Herod and the, I guess the Jews as well, and they worked together as one, tried to get rid of Jesus, they couldn't. They tried to get rid of the general, what they thought was going to be a military coup, who was going to then take his throne. They kill him so he cannot take the throne, but anybody know he's still on the throne. And so what they tried to do was to try to step out and get rid of anybody who claimed that he's still on the throne, because only one person can sit on a throne at one time. That's why we have Stephen, the first deacon of the church, killed in Acts chapter 7. Stephen, who had just been laid hands on, who had just been ordained on the same day of his ordination program, before he could get to the cupcake and the red Kool-Aid after the program was over, he is killed for preaching the name of Jesus and telling the Pharisees and the Jewish elites that the blood of Jesus is on your hands. Fast forward then to Acts chapter 12. At the beginning of chapter 12, right before I read, the first pastor of the first church in Jerusalem by the name of James is also killed for preaching the name of Jesus. And after Herod sees that it had pleased the Jews, not the Romans, not the citizens of Jerusalem, not those who were of little faith, not the Gentile. After he saw that killing a once Jew made other Jews happy, he decides to go do some more killing. After he saw your enemies delight in your demise. See, you got to understand, sometimes your enemies delight in your demise, especially when they think you got it coming to you. And so the enemies of the church delighted in the fact that they were being persecuted for being enemies. But anybody know that your enemies got something coming to them too? And anytime the devil thinks he's doing you harm, God has always got it for your good. So let your enemies keep on hating them. Let them do their job. Because when your enemies are hating on you, that means you're doing a good job. No. Yeah, I think it's on. When you are hated on and talked about, it means two things. Number one, they're keeping your name alive. And number two, you're doing a good job. So he arrests Peter, the leader of the 12. He arrests the chairman of the board. He arrests that preacher who was going to preach on Pentecost. And we know it is at least, Erica, the second time he's arrested just in the book of Acts. And when the preacher is in prison, the women got together and prayed. I said, when the preacher is placed in prison, the women got together and prayed. When the preacher was in prison, the women got together and prayed. They didn't get on Facebook. They didn't tweet out the fact that the preacher had been arrested. They didn't put his mugshot on Instagram. Ain't do it for the vine. The women got together and prayed. Now, let me put a quarter in the meter and remind you that even in today, and especially over the last really 20 years now, it used to be 10 years, but over 20 years now, we've seen too many preachers in prison. We've seen too many preachers in prison. And the higher you exalt yourself, the bigger your fall is going to be. And you look back over the history of those prisoners, those preachers you've seen on CNN and on the news, those are the ones who exalt themselves and, you know, become, have thrones brought in their pulpits, and you remember. And I'm going to tell you why we've got too many preachers in prison. Because we got too many preachers. That's why we got too many preachers in prison, is because we got too many preachers. How can you say that, Pastor? Isn't that good? Yes and no. Yes, we need everybody telling the good news of Jesus Christ. Oh, that was weak right there. Oh, y'all waiting on the no, ain't I? I understand. That's fine. That's fine. But know when you have called yourself to fleece people and not feed people. You know, this thing called the priesthood is holy. It is a holy assignment, not for perfect people, but at least for holy people who have good hearts and whose only goal is to lead people to Jesus. Not to be on some throne, not to have a Learjet, not to be flown all over and have the big piece of chicken, not to have your own parking space, but this is a holy assignment. And too many people have called themselves into the priesthood just to wear a collar. I licensed Rosalind Glenn because Rosalind Glenn didn't want to be licensed. You want to know why I was a surprise to her and everybody else? Because I was given an assignment by God to do what God told me to do based upon her actions and her life. Not because she came to me and said, I think I've been called. I would give you another example, but she's sitting right here over to the right, and I ain't gonna call her name. She's sitting by her daughter. She sang a song earlier. Daryl Jackson at the Bible Way Church laid hands on her and said, you are now an elder. Go preach. She ain't put on Facebook, I think I've been called, I won't preach. Her actions spoke louder than her words. All right, people will see what you do, and then they will affirm what God has already told. Yeah, anytime God has called somebody, he done already sent a CC text to somebody else. When he called Paul, he copied and pasted Ananias. I wish I had some Bible readers in here. Paul didn't want to be no preacher. Paul didn't have no trial sermon. God had already texted Ananias and said, you vouch for him and his calling. Ain't nobody want to talk to me today. Okay, next point, next point. Preacher's still in prison, though. And this preacher is not in prison for being a pedophile. Help me, somebody. This preacher's not in prison for stealing. This preacher is not in prison for a Ponzi scheme by using your good tithes and offerings to advance him and his family. This preacher is in prison, guess for what? Preaching. Nothing in the penal code, nothing in the criminal code, nothing that anyone can suggest or look at and say that's a law against. The preacher is in prison just for preaching. And when it had pleased the Jews, the text says, Herod Agrippa is now king of Judea. Herod the Agrippa is the grandson of Herod the Great, who was the one that tried to kill Jesus even before Jesus was born. Herod, where we get the word heredity from, the Herod's heredity, the Herodian dynasty, that evil nature. Is in the genes. And so the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. When they couldn't get Jesus, the grandson tries to get Peter. And he arrests Peter at the day of the Passover. The Passover is going on in Jerusalem. There are a lot of Jews there, so he has Peter arrested because he thought he would get the biggest bang for his buck. But he's not going to disrespect the Jews by killing him on the Passover. He's going to wait one day. You read the text when you get home. He doesn't kill him on the Passover. He arrests him with wanting to kill him on the next day. Next time y'all invite me here, I'm going to preach about the next day. Some of us pulled the plug too soon. Some of us call and cuss somebody out too soon. Some of us quit our job because you're given an assignment you don't want to do too soon. Some of y'all don't sign your contract to go back to your job too soon. Some of y'all don't take what God has for you. You don't take it because you take be patient and wait 24 hours to let God do something in your life. And you know what happens? While the preacher's in prison, the women got together at Sister Mary's house and prayed. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Just like Mary was the most famous name for women in the Bible, John was the most famous name for men in the Bible. John is his Jewish name. Mark is his Roman name. And so we don't misidentify Mark with being John who wrote the Gospel of John. He is called John Mark, so we know that he is a different John. That's why you always have to say Mary, the mother of Jesus, or Mary, the cousin of Jesus, or Mary Magdalene. They always have a second name because everybody named the same. And so this is Mark, the writer of Mark, who is telling us that they are at his mama's house praying. When the preacher is in prison, the women got together and prayed. Now, there might have been a few brothers there, but in every religious meeting, there are always going to be more women than men. Thank God for the ushers back there clapping because they can see that I'm telling the truth. It's always going to be more women than men. Yeah, even the baby know there's always going to be more women than men in any type of religious gathering. Why is that? When God has called men to lead, is this just where we get together for tea and Tupperware parties that it's not masculine to praise the Lord when the most masculine man I know is a man by the name of David that praised so hard and praised and shouted that he took off all his clothes? And we got men doing praise and worship like this. Ain't nobody had more women than David, and you think it's not masculine? Maybe that's what attracts women, is that you will praise. Help me, somebody. Maybe that way, if you're looking for somebody, maybe they see you enjoy the Lord and smile with the Lord and believe in God. Maybe they, hey, I got one right here that's looking for a man that will praise the Lord with her. Yes. And so they got together and prayed. The Lord loves a living example. I told you at the beginning of this year that I felt that this was the year of prayer. The fervent, righteous prayer of the believers availeth much. I knew at the beginning, as God told me last year, even before Trump came into office, that this 2017 was going to be a year where the people needed to pray. Prayer is the only power that we have to change some situations, and really all situations. For in a spiritual battle, you cannot use carnal methods. And for those of you who are babies in the faith, let me tell you what that means. It's a spiritual battle. There are battles happening in the cosmos between the forces of good and evil. All right? A carnal battle has to do with your flesh. All right? When you get mad at somebody, you slap them. That's carnality. When you get mad at somebody, you cuss them out. That is carnality. You're trying to hurt them and you're trying to harm them. But you're only doing it one-on-one unless you can jump. World star. But it's still a physical battle between people, and it's hurting another person's flesh. But when you're dealing with a spiritual battle, you have to use spiritual weapons. And the only spiritual weapon we have is prayer. And we are in a spiritual battle, not only for the souls of America, but the souls of our children. And that's why you need to lay hands on your children. I know I'm the pastor. I know I'm the preacher. I know I do a little things differently than most because I'm just programmed to do it. And so I lead the prayers in our house, and I pray with my children. I read to them a book almost every night, and then we pray together. And last year, when he was three, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord the soul to keep my angels, keep me through the night, and keep me in their blessed sight. And so, that's the memorized prayer we teach our kids. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep my angels, watch me through the night, and keep me in their precious sight. That's the memorized prayer that I have taught my kids because it was taught unto me. And so it's memorized. But last year, I can't remember the date, but he was just still three because he just turned four. Ian said, Daddy, I want to say my own prayer. I pray for my mommy. I pray for my daddy. I pray for my sister. I pray for my daddy. I pray for my Mimi. I pray for Papa. I pray for everybody. I pray for my teacher. I love you, Jesus. That was from the lips of a three-year-old. I've had many great days in my life. I'm not going to say it was the great because I don't want to go through that. But it was one of the greatest days that I will ever remember when my three-year-old boy says, Daddy, I want to say my own prayer. Too many of us still got memorized prayers. Say the same thing to God over and over and over. You ain't got a first original prayer yet. You ain't heard nothing from God to pray about because you haven't been talking to him. And the only power that we have in our possession is the power of prayer. And that is why when they found their pastor, their leader in prison, they got together and prayed. They prayed so things would change in the cosmos. They changed because they understood that the preacher had a problem. I said they understood that the preacher had a problem. And again, they didn't talk about him. They didn't badmouth him. They didn't tell other people what they thought that he had done. Yep, it's somebody. They got together and prayed that God would do something in the atmosphere. They got together because the Bible says where one or two touch and agree, there he shall be also. And that's why there's power when groups get together in intercessory prayer and pray for one another. Something happens in the heavens. I wish I had somebody who really believed in what I'm talking about. So somebody else who's quiet and has not felt that yet in their spirit and has not seen that in their life, know that when two touch and agree, there he will be. So they prayed. And when they prayed, things began to happen. When they prayed, God sent an angel from heaven. When they prayed, that angel came into that prison. When they prayed, that prisoner touched, that angel touched Peter and woke him up. When they prayed, handcuffs fell off of them. Now you understand that because of what happened with Jesus, they had put two soldiers with Peter. They had left Jesus alone. And they realize if you leave him alone, you better be careful because something might happen. We should have put two soldiers with Jesus. But even if they had put two soldiers with Jesus, they would have gone up to heaven just like Jesus. So they try to put two soldiers next to Peter to keep him down. But anybody know ain't nobody or nothing or nobody can keep you down when God wants you to get up? Say yes. Nobody can hold you down when people are praying. I said when people are praying. I said, when people are praying, when you pray for yourself, nothing and nobody can hold you down if you believe in the power of prayer. And when they got together in prayer, chains began to fall off. And that's all I got to tell you today. If you want the chains to fall off in your life, if there's anything holding you down, begin to pray. If you got a loved one that's being shackled right now, physically or mentally, start praying. I know it's hard to pray for Trump, but every night you need to call his name. And if we start calling his name, something can happen in the atmosphere. Something can happen in the cosmos. When God sees that the people really want to have something change in their lives and in their government, if the people together get together and pray, there's nothing or nobody that can hold us down. It's 11:50. I'm early. Let me take another text. And the people's voice shall be heard. Let us stand.